Welcome back, guys, to episode number 67 of the Sweet Science Podcast with your boy Fat Full Ride Mouse. Who else we got in here?
I'm Cash with a K.
Not a C.
Not a C. But I can see. Do you get me? So I'm not going to lie to you guys, yeah? These glasses don't help me see. They're just clear perspex. But I'm just trying a different look. Because we're getting older and we're maturing. So let us know in the comments. Yay or nay? Glasses or no glasses?
What are they called, clear perspex?
I don't know. It's just perspex is plastic, isn't it?
Okay.
So I don't know, blood. Perspicacity. Yeah, we're back.
Episode
67.
Yep. It's been a long time.
It's been a minute.
But there was a lot of things going on behind the scenes. We were working on a few projects.
A whole bunch of them.
And we were doing a lot of different other things which sort of consumed our lives. But we congregated, we came back together, and we thought to ourselves, what better than get back the best show on the planet?
100%.
The best podcast ever.
Legitimately have been stopped and asked, while going with the pod, when are you coming back? That day is why we do it, so that we can let you down 3 weeks later.
I was abroad in Europe and I'm walking through the mountains.
Mountains.
And a group of people ran up to me. I think they were about 3.7 miles away. They saw me from a distance because of my sparkling
they
white
teeth. They
clocked
from them teeth.
And my immense physique. And they came sprinting and they said, when are you and Fat Mouse coming back to our screens?
We said He's on his way. He's activating. And here I am. Activated.
We're recharged, re-energized, and ready to retake the throne. Reclaim.
Yeah? All right. Boom. Without further ado, guys, I think it's just straight into the boxing because it's relatively fresh. It happened yesterday, right? Mm. Yeah, it happened yesterday. Daniel Dubois.
But when this comes out, it'll probably be 2 days ago.
Yeah, but still, they understand.
Regardless, okay, yeah. It was this weekend.
For right now, it's a Sunday, the 27th of August, Carnival weekend. And we're here. What's going on?
Good people.
Yesterday, the 26th of August, Daniel Dubois challenged Usyk, Alexander Usyk, for his three belts, heavyweight division. And Cash is about to tell us how it went. Because he prefers to do it. I'm not going to lie, I can't deliver it like he does.
Yeah, I'm a deliverer.
You're a deliverer.
You do the packaging and I do the delivery.
Blood, just deliver then.
So, as Mal said, obviously three of the four belts are on the line. The WBA, WBO and IBF World Heavyweight titles. The ones he ripped away from Anthony Joshua and then defended against him as well. Usyk, after what you could say some controversy. Some would say it shouldn't have happened, it shouldn't have gone the way it did. But Usyk walked away with a ninth round KO. I think it was a better fight than most people expected, only because I feel a lot of people thought Usyk would walk through.
So what you're saying is it was a better fight than most people expected because Daniel Dubois actually won. Because he landed a clean punch on the belt where it should have been. Where he was told this is fine, and then floored him for how long was it? 3 minutes and 46 seconds.
3 minutes, 45, yeah.
45, 46, whatever, innit? That's a long time. And you could see he was in pain. He's either acting or he's in pain, as in he's winded. But he definitely did not. That was nowhere near his tings.
Okay, so let's clear the elephant in the room. Was it a low blow?
Nope. I don't believe it was a low blow, but I think it's clear. But it wasn't a low blow. It was not a low blow. It was like in his... It was underneath his belly button, innit? But that's calm. That's calm. You could punch me there. I'll take that.
Yeah, but you could take it, but is it illegal?
No, of course it's legal. I never punch his things. So the ref tells you where to go. Yeah. If anything above here is fine or anything below here is not.
Excuse me. So this is the thing, though, isn't it? I'm under the impression that by the rules of the game, it was an illegal shot and it was a low blow. because from what I understand, this
technicalities.
Is the
thing. Yeah,
but this is what I'm saying. Okay, cool. This is what the difficulty is.
Go on, then.
One person says that below the belly button, anything below the belly button is not allowed.
The ref tells you what's allowed and what's not. If the belt, if the shorts are high, he goes, these are high, so anywhere above here is okay.
He didn't do that, though.
I know he didn't, but that's he must have done it. He must have done it in the changing room.
But this is what I'm saying, though. Even in the post-fight press conference, they said, I can't remember what who it was, if it was Krasiuk or Klimas. I can't remember who said it from Usyk's team, but they were mentioning the rules meeting, and there's no mention of below the belt shots in the rules meeting, but they were trying to say it's kind of common knowledge that you don't go below the belly button.
Now that's BS, blood. That's not how it works. You go to the body. Otherwise, you're saying all you've got to go to the body is from under the chest, really, if you're not including the chest. Chest to belly button, 2-3-4 inches. That's what she said.
Okay, so, but if you think about it like this, okay, we compare to a lot of heavyweights, yeah? Mm. A lot of heavyweights wear their belt quite high.
Okay.
A lot of them in general. If you look at them, Tyson Fury, AJ, a lot of the top ones. Usyk usually has his belt line quite low in general.
Okay.
If you look at all his fights, his belts are quite low.
But this is why you're. This is why the ref failed again and again and again. Because then it's his job to say, this is where you cannot go.
But if you look
he
at the shot.
He didn't even do that.
Listen, when I watched it in real time, it looked legal to me. I put my hands up. I thought, yeah, you know what? He's been robbed.
Mm.
And when you look at it from a different angle, and this is where it gets tricky, because you look at different angles, you look at slow-mo, you know, all these different things, commentary off and all this stuff. He came up with a shot. So it's kind of like, instead of coming down,
yeah,
straight,
I understand.
Kind of cupped in.
But he never went from like,
I'm not saying he hit his nuts.
Flipping nuts all the way up to his chest.
I get it.
It wasn't like Luke, who does
the uppercut in Mortal Kombat? Is it Liu Kang?
I don't know.
Where
he comes through and just blows you up or whatever.
It wasn't like that. But it's still kind of like, I feel like it cuffed him or cupped him, whatever you want to call it, below the belt line, below the belly button, where it shouldn't be allowed, and then it come up, so it kind of looks like it was. I don't. Was
no
he
doubt,
okay?
No doubt it was a close call, innit? No doubt it was a close call. And what's his name?
The what?
Don Charles. And say flipping.
Who are you going? Don King. Ronald McDonald.
What? I don't know if you've been to Iceland, yeah? They got an orange juice called Don Simon.
Yeah, I know it. The one with the green logo. Is that the one?
That's all I had in my head, but Don Simon.
Don Simon.
What the heck? Anyway, Don who?
Don Charles.
Don Charles, bloody hell. Don Simon said, we need VAR. Thing is, you know why they're not going to get it, innit? Because there's mad corruption. They don't want there to be VAR, right? But it's true. Looking at it again and again, you would need... The ref would need a second attempt to see what it was. Do you get me? But that wasn't a low blow, man, unfortunately. And that little... Well, he's not little, but big, old, young... Dubois, like just that big, plodding Dubois, just like a bear. Like I felt very sorry for him because he was too fuming, but he doesn't even know how to show his emotions.
He didn't even have to process his emotions.
He didn't even
do a post fight. He left.
Yeah,
he was upset.
Listen, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it's one of them things. It's subjective because on any other day you could say that was a body shot and he's gone down. Like I've seen different shots from different fighters which were lower than that.
Yeah,
and count as a body shot.
Yeah, 100%.
But then I've seen guys get hit with clear as day body shots and get told it's a low blow.
Yeah,
so
that's the thing. It's always going to be controversial.
And that's the problem. It's the same thing in football, bro. Mm. It's just different. It's sad, isn't it? But like when there's different refs involved, they've all got different perspectives on it. They see things differently. There needs to just be one straight rule for everybody at all times. And I think because fighters have different styles, they wear different shorts. They want theirs high. They want theirs low.
Yeah,
they want.
Yeah.
It ruins it. It makes it difficult. It's hard. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
It just makes their job harder. But you can't have uniform everything because where the shorts sit, that might even affect how you fight. Do you get me?
It's small things. I get it. But there needs to be some sort of
it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. And I get that it was controversial or that was there's going to be people that think it was a clean shot and people that think it was illegal. It's a tough one, isn't it? Now, unfortunately, this is just how it goes, isn't it? And it's he was at home. He had, you know, the audience in his support. He had the ref, not in his support, but do you get me? The ref was probably more inclined to go to him because he was the favourite as well. There's a whole bunch of things riding on his side. So I can understand it. But then you know, you can't actually blame that on what happened afterwards. Do you get me? Maybe, okay, he went cold. He lost his wind after three minutes and 45 seconds of just standing there getting cold.
So this is what I was going to say about that bit as well. Don't get me wrong. He was definitely hurt by it, whether it was low or not, wherever he was actually, you know, super in pain and needed to go down. I think he did make a meal of it.
Yeah. Well, that's because if you're going to have that time, you might as well use it.
And it's that experience, isn't it? It's that experience. You know, you get 5 minutes when you get hit low to take your time.
Mm.
You know, most fighters, if they like deep down, every fighter wants to take 4 minutes 59 or five on the dot to take that off. But obviously, crowds playing on your mind. You know, you got it's just ego, isn't it? Every fighter's got that huge ego. They're like, you know what? I'm Mexican style.
Yeah.
Hit me in the balls. I'll get back up in 10 and I'm gone again.
Yeah.
But, you know, Usyk's smart. He's been in the game a long time. He understands it. Is he weak to the body? We've seen it. Someone said, has he got a glass body? Like,
I mean,
I've seen it against AJ. AJ hit him to the body.
Yeah, because he's a lot smaller than these guys. So their punches in his body are like, or to his body rather, are like, they're sledgehammers. Do you get me? Because he's a smaller guy. But he's in that division, so it doesn't matter if they're heavy or not. He's just got to firm them, innit? And he got the win, and he did batter him after that anyway.
He did switch it. He switched
Daniel Dubois, whatever happened to him after that, if it messed with his mind, still, that's a weak mind. That's a weak mentality. If him not getting that as a knockout led to him losing, what's the word? Like, the fire in his belly to win. Do you get me? He should have really just said, you know what, let's I'm gonna do it again. Do you get me? Because he's already got it.
So this is what I was saying yesterday, is Usyk is very good at when he starts to lose a round, or he starts to be, not even dominated, but whilst the pressure's on him, he's amazing at flipping it straight away. He doesn't give you a full 3 minutes
absolutely
dominating him in a round or beating him in a round. Mm. I saw it in the AJ fight twice where AJ looked like,
he'll throw away a portion of the round, but he'll reclaim it.
He'll come straight back, straight back. It's one of those mind effing things, like where he gives you this false sense of security, this false belief that you're going to win the round, and then he just switches.
I don't think he gives it. I think it just happens, but then he's like, snap out of it, boy. Let's go.
He starts throwing his combos.
Yeah.
He lets his hands go. And then we saw it. The first knockdown in round 8, threw a few shots, a combination, left, right, left, right. I can't remember exactly.
They didn't even look like they were landing.
They didn't land clean. I think it was an accumulation of shots. I think it was also the fact that Dubois was beginning to tire.
I believe that's 100% the case.
I think the crowd got to him. I think the atmosphere got to him. Not because he was nervous and whatnot, but the adrenaline.
And then eventually,
you know, the pressure of Usyk constantly, after that knockdown, like you said, just picked it up and he was on him. And the pace of the fight was quite high. Dubois had to be at that pace to follow around. Usyk's moving, bouncing around on his toes, throwing combos to keep up.
Yeah.
You've got to be matching that energy, if not overtaking him. And I think he got to that point where he was starting to fade.
He was bouncing around. I don't know if you clocked early rounds. He was bouncing around, and I was like, right, he's trying to mirror Usyk.
He was trying to.
But he couldn't make
it. It was the wrong style.
Yeah, it was definitely the wrong
style. It's not how you beat Usyk.
He did well, though. He did.
This is what I said at the beginning. If I take it back to what I said right at the beginning, he did better than most people expected. And he's got to get credit for that. But at the end of the day, you know, get rid of the fifth round, you know, Usyk turned it on and eventually did what the better elite fighter does and gets you out of there, you know.
The eighth 100%.
Round, hit him on the like I said, the combos weren't, they didn't land flush, but there's one kind of cuffing shot which hit the top of the head, kind of discombobulated him. Feel like he went down, he didn't even go down heavily, he took a knee, but he was kind of falling backwards. Got back up, round finished, and then I remember at the end of that round, I said to myself, it's done next round. Because he just looked, you know, when that confidence is completely zapped out of you. And next round, Usyk just poured it on him. And then, oh, the right.
It was
like a hook jab. It was just so strong.
He goes over the hands.
Yeah, over the top. Bam, right on the cheekbone area, I think it was. The ball went down. Here's where it gets interesting now. Did he quit again?
This is exactly my point. This is why I said that knockdown or that illegal blow or whatever you want to call that didn't really or shouldn't have, it probably did affect him, shouldn't have affected him to that extent. Because if you're a heavyweight, even if you got him out there early, but the ref deemed it not a legal punch, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You're a heavyweight, you're a professional, you are an athlete. So if you're tired after round five, but you've done your five rounds and you've proven that you can beat him, let's just say, but you know, you got robbed or you got that stripped of you, yeah? Just, you can't then be tired. And then, do you get me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's not an excuse, is what I'm trying to say. It's not an excuse to say, oh, I got tired, and then he got tired and he quit because he was exhausted. It's not an excuse. If that's what happened, then you lost. Do you get me? Fair and square. The only tarnish on it is the fact that it looks like he got the KO. Do you get me? And that's a big one. It's not like a small thing to just glance over. Mm-hmm. But he got the KO, and then he didn't get it officially. So now he's like, aha, he's got to recover. He's got to just like regroup and gather his thoughts and gather himself and go back to it. He couldn't do that. That's where he went wrong. Do you get me? Yes, he was getting, the word's not dominated, but it was a good fight, but it looked like Usyk all the way.
The screw was turning.
The screw was turning. Do you get me? But the way I don't want to say he gave up, but it really does seem that way. And it's not because he was, probably not because he was exhausted or anything. He just got so demotivated. He's like, he's probably thinking, what is the point? And that is mental weakness in that situation, because blood, this is a moment. You're not even going to get a rematch because this is a mandatory fight, right? You're not getting a rematch in a normal situation or under normal circumstances. You're not going to get a rematch. So you have to just go hell for leather and just do everything you can. And I understand it. And that's where he lacks experience, though, isn't it? And that's where he lacks maybe even the mental fortitude, just because he is young. He's, what, 24?
Something, yeah, like, I think it's 24.
24 years old. That's young, bro. That's very young. He's still, he also seems mentally a little bit younger than that as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's not that super mature. He's like a big, you know, the green mile, boss, can you keep the light on, boss? He's just very much dependent on those around him. He's just got mad ability in terms of his strength. He's super strong and super powerful.
Yeah.
Everything else is dependent on the people around him. Mm-hmm. Do you get me? And I think that's what it is. He's like a circus act. You get me? Look at the strongest man in the world. But other than that, there's not much to him. And I don't want to take away from him as a boxer. He's just got plenty of learning to do.
Like
AJ had however many fights he's had. Do you get me? Early on, when he became a world champ, he was only 16 fights in. Do you get me? So he had a lot of learning to do. Same thing with Dubois. It's just very unfortunate what happened to him in round five.
Yeah.
Where he could have won. And that was taken away from him.
I get it. No, 100%. It's, you know, like, I'm completely against anyone saying that, oh, because in round five, what happened, he got demotivated, he lost confidence in the, yeah. You know, you're a fighter, you know you're going 12 rounds regardless, yeah? You got to go all out. Doesn't matter what happens. All right, cool. Went down with a body shot. You didn't get it. You go again. Like you said earlier, you go again. You go until the guy can't go anymore.
That's it.
Until you're out on the stretcher. It doesn't matter. Especially when you understand the circumstances, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You might not get another world title shot for another 3-4 fights. You don't know what's going to happen. You have to look at the bigger picture. And, I saw him tiring. I saw him starting to break down a little bit. Cool. I get that. But, you know, the shot that he got caught with, and there's always these people that say, oh, well, you get hit with that and see what happens. Yeah. I'm not a fighter.
That's exactly
and
it.
And I've never claimed to be one. I'm not a professional athlete.
I am.
I'm not a heavyweight contender.
I am.
I'm not trying to fight Usyk for titles and say, you know, I'm going to be AJ and all these stuff, all these things, yeah?
I'll take them all in one night.
He'll do all of it, not me.
Same night, send me to Saudi.
But I believe if I was in that situation with the training, the years of experience behind me and all that stuff, I think if I got hit with a jab, and I'm not saying it was I'm not trying to take the
piss, like it was just a jab.
No, but I'm saying,
yeah,
you know, if I got hit with that kind of punch and I wasn't concussed or out concussively or like, you know, super discombobulated or hurt and my legs would, because he got back up.
Yeah.
Similar to what I said with Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis, you got up on the count of 10. Your argument was he couldn't get up physically before 10.
Yeah.
Cool. Body that's shot. Body. Body's that's
different.
Different
to cool. head, 100%.
He got up.
100%.
And he walked to his corner.
Even if
his eyes looked clear, his head looked clear, his legs weren't, he wasn't shaking all over the place.
No, he might have been exhausted.
I feel as though the Joe Joyce fight has taken a big toll on him. His eyes swelling up. I could see a bump. I don't know if he felt maybe similar to, like, you know when Cal Brook fought Spence after the Golovkin fight?
Yeah.
Where the eye went, he took a knee and he said, you know what, bro?
I don't want to get there
again. I'm not doing this again. It's a huge thing, especially when you're so young and you've been battering everyone and then reality struck you really quickly
this
and
is
hard.
This is it. When you, and this is why I'm all for building a fighter. Do you get me? You have to, but like with a challenging fight, not give him tin cans or tomato cans that he's just going to go through, give him some false confidence and then go in against Joe Joyce, which is, you know, at that point his biggest, his toughest fight yet, and then going against Usyk, toughest fight yet, and crumble. Mm. And I'm not saying he did. I am saying he did. I'm saying it was a bit much for him. I'm saying the moment was a bit too much for him. The pressure was a bit too much for him. The fifth round where he got, where life hit him hard and he wasn't ready for it. Do you get me? In that, it's not always going to go your way. You're not always going to get the KO and get the KO. Let's say it was legal. He believes it was legal. It does look it. Just crack the heck on, because no one's going to feel sorry for you. Do you get it? Like, no one's going to be like, oh, okay, because you said it's a legal punch, we'll give it to you. Nah. Mm. It is what it is. Like, obviously, they're going to try and contest it and at least turn into a no contest, so it's not a loss on his record. But he's got a lot of learning to do. And I don't know who said it. It might have even been Frank Warren. But what he learned in this fight is, it's like Canelo Mayweather, almost.
It'll be invaluable, yeah.
It's invaluable. And even if the cost of that is a loss, no problem.
But not only the cost of a loss, what's it going to take out of him? Because again, it's another, not even, he didn't take a beating.
Yeah.
In the sense that Joe Joyce kind of just smashed his eye in and his head in or whatever it was.
Yeah.
He didn't take a beating for 9 rounds. He was nip and tuck. He was losing rounds. He was getting caught a few times here and there. And then sort of towards the end, like I said, lost a bit of adrenaline, lost a bit of momentum. And then it kind of became too much.
Yeah.
But what does that do to a guy mentally when you've lost twice like that? When,
if
you've
it's
got, when you haven't gone out on your shield.
Yeah.
If when it's you've lost twice by quitting, essentially.
But okay, so quitting is,
because now I've seen it twice. I've seen it twice. When the going got tough,
yeah,
you packed your bags and left.
If it was exhaustion, that's not quitting. That's just him saying, I have zero in the tank. Your car ain't exhausted when it's got no petrol. It's got no petrol. Do you get me?
Yeah, but then do you agree with, I know you don't agree with that. As a fighter, you should. You go until...
If you cannot, you cannot.
You can, man. You can. If you can, you can. And you cannot, you can. As a fighter.
Yes, I don't know.
You have to.
The man just said, if you can't, you can, you can, you can. Can.
There's 3 more rounds. You know you're fighting for a world title.
But I'm saying, if you actually
you get to that mental block,
100%.
You got to push through.
You have to push through.
You have to.
This is what I'm trying to say. So if it's just that, then he's not ready for it. This is where he needs
the rounds. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Yeah, I get that.
What's it called? Experience.
This is what I'm saying, and I feel like Frank and Queensbury,
he's not used to getting tucked in because he was getting hit to the face, which is his job, and he has to be ready for that. I don't understand. Then, no excuses. You quit. Joe Joyce might have softened the eye up, softened your mind up to that, to how human you are, yeah? And how delicate you are, really, as a human being. Then that was just, that's on you. Do you get me? And if this is going to be a common theme, and every time you have a fight, every loss you have is because of this, then that's, you're just a quitter. Mm. You can't not be a quitter. Like, we can't argue against that. But again, this fight was one of them ones where, so the Joe Joyce one, like you said, you can just kind of tell that his eye is mashed. The pain, apparently, of breaking an orbital bone is excruciating. You do think you're going to go blind. And you quit. You're saving your eyesight. You're saving your health. This one here, the excuse is quite different because, well, I thought I knocked him out in the fifth. My body's, what's that thing called? Adrenaline. It's just dumped now. I've won. But all of a sudden, they're saying it's not. Now I can't get back that adrenaline. I can't get back that feeling. I can't get back that fire. So now I've got to have to build it up again. And that's where you went wrong. You can't help it, but you could have got that from somewhere. It's again, it's a mental. It's more mental than physical.
My two frustrations from the Dubois fight, yeah?
Yeah.
One is the style of fight. I'm really annoyed by the fact that he came out. And again, and I'm saying this again because it wasn't bad. Like, he did well. But you're not beating Usyk by trying to outbox him. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. Someone who's got a better pedigree than you, someone who arguably might hit harder than you, someone who, you know, has been there at the biggest stage numerous times.
Yeah.
Anthony Joshua tried it twice.
Yeah.
AJ said he was going to come in the second fight and bully him and do that. He didn't. He went into his shell again and started trying to box. And it was the wrong tactic. You have to bully this guy and beat him into submission. It's the only way to beat him. And the only man that will be able to do that, and will come onto it, is Tyson Fury. But Dubois isn't Tyson Fury. So that's my first frustration. Yeah, he should have come up with a different game plan. I like the fact he was hitting him to the body. I think it was a smart idea. You want to slow down the guy who's moving. And it eventually did. Usyk started to slow down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got to do what Derek Chisora did in that fight when he fought him.
Rush
him. You've got to be on top of him. You've got to use your weight. You've got to use your advantages, your physical advantages against the guy who's known as the Cat. You know,
this is the thing.
You know what he's going to do. And the second thing is, what I don't like, is the mental side of it. Is, you know, you're preparing. You're saying, this is my moment. This is the biggest fight of my life. Nothing's going to take this away from me.
That was just talk.
And then when the going got tough again, you decided, you know what? I'm out of here. And I'm not putting myself in that position because I don't know. That shot probably would have knocked me out. Yeah? I'm not 200 and however big he is, 30 pounds of pure muscle, huge tank. I don't know how big he is, that 6'5", whatever.
He's big, blood.
You know, but when you're in that position and you're saying all this stuff before a fight and you're getting hit with it was a very solid right. It was and it was flush.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't out of there. You weren't out of there. And you still had 3 more rounds to possibly do something. You know?
Yeah.
Everyone's saying you've got a puncher's chance. Your promoter's saying you've got a puncher's chance. You know? Your coaches believe it. You know, you still got another, 3 and a bit rounds to go to make history. And, you know, you went down and then you said, you know what? It's not going my way. I don't think it's going to turn. Let me just get out of here. And it's not right, man, in that position. And, you know, when you've got that much pressure on you, especially like when you're coming from a couple fights ago where people were questioning your heart and your desire, the next time you face adversity, and I'm not saying that was the only time, because in his last fight with Lorena,
you know,
you done your knee in, you know, you went down, you got up and you battled through. But, you know, we're talking about levels here, and, you know,
100%,
you know, like, that's why Deontay Wilder has the respect of the boxing world. He's gone in there 3 times, life or death with Tyson Fury. You know, he was finished in that third fight. Couldn't even breathe. It looked like he had put everything into it, and he went out on a shield. But you don't lose respect from no one. A lot of people will say he sparks out the rest of the division.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a double-edged sword at the end of the day. You want to preserve your career at the same time, but you also, you know, you don't want to lose respect to the boxing fans. It's weird because I feel like a lot of people have also said that they've gained respect for him, and, you know, he went in there with Usyk and, you know, he didn't have to.
Yeah.
You know, so young.
No, so,
but, you know, you're getting paid.
These are all outside of the ring. These are all reasons to respect him outside of the actual going into the ring. Do you understand what I mean?
No, I get it.
It's in the ring now that you're there. Hands are up, he's in front of you. That's when the real respect needs to come. Because if they said to me, here's a million, go fight Usyk, I'm fighting him.
Yeah.
I'm fighting him. And I'm last in a good few rounds, minimum. I might not land nothing. So that's not courage. That's just like, of course,
incentive.
This is a chance.
Incentive.
Yeah. And for him, this is a chance to get 3 of the belts, 3 of them. Do you get me?
It's a no-brainer.
It's like, he's not brave for doing it then. He's just a normal guy. He's just, it's his job for doing it.
But this is what I was saying as well, as what I was going to say before, sorry, is I feel like Frank Warren and Queensbury used him. Of course they used him. Promoters always use their fighters. I'm not saying it in that sense, but they really, this was a big possibility of happening, and it happened. And I don't know how it's going to affect him, knowing that you could have been world champion and you're not, and then you eventually get stopped. I don't know how it's going to mess up his mental side of things and his...
Well, he needs to just not let it like that.
But, you know, Frank and the team at Queensbury, I think they sold him a lot of fake belief, like, you know, you're going to do this. Because it was very...
For what? To make the fight happen?
Not even to make it happen.
Or to sell Tyson Fury, Usyk. Like, what? To do what? What's the reason?
Obviously,
or to bring back potentially all the belts to Queensbury.
No, they would have preferred Usyk and Fury. I think it's a bigger fight.
Of course.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, you got to believe in your fighter in that. But man, it was just, it's one of them ones where I feel like they I think they might have pushed him in it too soon. You know? And again, you know, there's no right moment. You make the moment right, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, like that saying, however it goes. And, you know, we've seen it loads of times where, you know, fighters who were the underdog or shouldn't have won it get in there and win it.
Yeah.
And we see the vice versa where they go in and they get absolutely schooled.
Yeah,
it happens all the time. It's the way boxing works, isn't it? You can never get the timing right of anything. But, you know, I feel like they kind of maybe a bit too soon, you know, again, get that experience under your belt, fight a few more top fighters and then go in against someone like Alexander Usyk. Because you're not just fighting any regular world champion.
No, he definitely needs, you
know,
to.
You're not fighting. Yeah. You're not going in against a Charles Martin, you know? Yeah, yeah. I'm no disrespect to him, but you're not even going up against like an Andy Ruiz. You're going up against Alexander Usyk.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going up against pound for pound elite of the elite, you know? One of the GOATs, one of the greatest
crazy
of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a big ask from the get-go.
But a huge opportunity that you would be silly to say no to.
No, of course. Because of course, you're right.
There is a chance, and like he showed us in round five, there is a chance, or there was a chance, that he could make something of it. And if that was a legit punch and it landed correctly and it was, sorry, landed, you know, normally or whatever,
you admit it.
Then, no, I'm saying if it was, then boom. He just lost out on that opportunity. Yeah. But if it wasn't, and it's just, it's one of them ones, I think it was a legit punch.
It's mad.
But I don't think that Usyk was that out. He definitely would have got up in 10, within those 10 seconds and carried on, but he would have got pammed if it was that bad. A body blow doesn't, you can't recover quickly in 10 seconds. But he definitely milked it. He didn't need 3 minutes and 45 seconds. He just took them because they were there.
Yeah.
This, get me?
This fight really... Let me give you a story. Quick story.
Yeah.
This fight really made me think about the mental... This fight really made me think about the mental side of things, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And how trauma is a real thing.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing in comparison. But if we look at it from the previous fight where he lost to Joe Joyce, where he got his head pummeled in and his eye socket eventually went.
Yeah.
I understand, you know, I can be really harsh about it and say, well, why did you quit and why did you give up? But I understand how that can mess you up and make you think next time you get hit, or even before you even start to feel that it's coming.
You don't want it to get there.
You're not getting there.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand that because I'll give you the example of when I was in the gym a few years ago. Everyone drops their weights on the floor normally. No one reads the signs. No one cares about don't drop your weights. I don't know about now. I think a lot of people have realized that, you know, people leave their phones about. You can smash your phone and whatnot. But I was one of them careless guys. I'm picking up heavy weights, lifting them
up,
and I'm dropping them, and I'm not worrying about what could happen because there's nothing like what can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's gonna bounce up or fly away.
I know you felt like a bad man.
Felt like a bad man.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't give it any care in the world. You don't worry about it. And then eventually, silly old me, not clocked that there's weights underneath me. I'm doing incline dumbbell presses. Yeah. Come back down, put my hands down, drop the weights whilst my arms are down, yeah? Bounces off the other weight on the floor. I don't know if they were my weights or someone else's weights, but in the moment, who cares? Bounce back up and ripped my middle fingernail completely off, yeah?
Routed.
I didn't feel it in the moment.
Yeah.
The man and my dad start laughing. They're like,
oh, he's going to know.
Why are you bleeding?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I look down and it's just through. It's, imagine 90% of my nails hanging off. Yeah.
God,
finger is expanding by the second.
Serious.
Turn into like, bro, like the size of, corn on the cob.
Yeah, a pickle, yeah.
Just
pickle
huge,
finger.
Bro. My finger turned into like that. What's that? The tire man.
Oh,
Michelin man. I'm seeing blood oozing, Michelin star.
Yeah.
My finger is oozing with blood, bro. I'm like, what is going on? Look down, it's just there. I start panicking.
Yeah.
Anyway, run to the back, try and tape it up. Ended up going to hospital. They put a needle in my finger, numbed my finger, ripped the rest of the nail off. Stitched it up in the middle, and then it grew back. This is a brand new nail.
Serious, that's a new thing.
So that's my original, this is what they should look like. That's a new nail.
You're saying it looks different. It just looks like a nail blood.
Basically, they say in it, like, they said to me, the nurse, when she saw my nail.
I thought you was never going to have a nail. I would have, yeah.
Sometimes they don't grow back. Sometimes they grow
That's
back funky.
Crazy.
She was like, your nail came out beautiful. What can I say? Alhamdulillah. But
go do nails, blood.
That's nothing in comparison. But now, it's always in the, it will always be in the back of my mind.
Yeah,
no matter what. Doesn't matter what. It is so minor. I'm talking about weights, not getting punched in the head for a living.
Yeah.
But when I'm going to the gym and I'm picking up a weight, I'm making sure that weight is going back.
Because
10 minutes of finger bleeding out and hanging off and the pain I felt in that moment, I'm not on it again.
Yeah.
I don't want it to happen again. So I understand why these men will think, because this is on a different level, bro. Your eye socket getting blown or your ribs getting broken or, you know. Yeah. It's mad because, you know, we can poke fun at them, but at the end of the day, till you've been in that situation,
100%, man,
you'll never know.
100%.
But it doesn't stop me from saying you're a
poose. Blood. So he didn't need. So he's not going to get a rematch. It's very unlikely he's going to get a rematch, innit?
This is what I was going to ask you as well.
Yeah, what?
He's not going to get a rematch. Excuse me. Or is he?
It's
Who
unlikely.
Should?
Yeah.
Tell me now. Who should Alexander Usyk fight next? Let me give you three options.
Going,
no, no, that's not stupid.
Question,
let me give you three options. Question. Does he take the rematch with Daniel Dubois? Does he
that's
fight
only if it's mandated, bruv. That's only if he has to
but
do
listen,
it.
Listen. Regardless of all of that, if it's his choice, yeah?
Yeah.
If the choice is solely down to Alexander Usyk, who does he fight next? Does he fight the rematch against Daniel Dubois? Does he fight his IBF mandatory? Filip Pergovic, or does he go up once Tyson Fury's done? Go up against Tyson Fury for the undisputed title. What should he do?
I was about to say Tyson Fury's done with what? He's fighting Ngannou. It's a silly question. It's a silly question because there is no other option. There should be. They should not allow any other fight. I don't care about IBF mandatory. Filip Pergovic. Yeah, Hergovic. I don't give a damn about that guy. I don't give a damn about Daniel Dubois. I feel sorry for him, but I don't give a damn. We only need to see him fight Tyson Fury. We only need to see a complete unification, undisputed fight. Well, I'm telling them.
Look the lens down.
We need to see. No, it's too far. But that's all we can. That's there is no other option. There is no other option for a fight. Of a fight, to fight. There is no other fight to make other than Tyson Fury, Alexander Usyk in Saudi with AJ and Wilder because they're trying to make this whole thing happen again. You know, on the undercard, it's a mad thing. Blood, I don't get the point of any other fighter being suggested to him. Absolutely no point.
So here's the
And if
question.
He does fight somebody else, it's one of them ones where boxing is a joke and we're not seeing the fights that we want. We're just seeing these fake mandatories, these BS opponents, these CAC second place work like workarounds, innit? You didn't get Fury, but you're gonna get Daniel Dubois. I don't care.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying then. Okay, I agree with that, but who should he fight again? You just touched on it, but who should he fight in the interim? Because if Fury is fighting, well, Fury's fighting him October 21st, I think it is.
Okay, so,
both
so
basically,
take 6 months off.
The end of the year is done.
Yeah, it's not going to happen this year, but it's not going to. So the end of the year is done for my man as well.
Should Usyk try and get a fight in December? Maybe
October, November. Is that what comes after October?
Yeah,
November, December, January. You telling me Fury can't turn around a fight in three, four months?
He won't do that.
Well, then he's an
idiot. I'm trying to be
then.
Realistic, isn't it?
No, but it's very possible.
Should Usyk not rematch Dubois in the meantime, like in December?
And risk losing.
But this is what I'm asking. This is what I'm trying to find out from you.
No, but...
should he do it?
What are we in now? We're in September.
If you're Alexander Usyk, No, we're in August. We're turning September.
Yeah, okay, cool.
If you're Alexander Usyk and the public are on you, you haven't been mandated. Yeah, say the WBA don't force you to rematch.
Then I'm not doing it.
But the crowd are on you. You've got nothing else to do in the mandatory. In the meantime,
obviously, I'm doing this for the fans. But I'm. But are you telling me the fans? Well, if we've set a date for Fury Usyk, the fans will shut up about Dubois or Hergovic or flipping. Do you understand? They're going to shut up and wait patiently, sit on their hands like good little boys and wait for the fight. So just announce it. Do it in February, like they said, early 2024, right? That is January to March. That's early, yeah?
Mm-hmm. First quarter.
No later than really and truly end of Feb. Yeah, end of February, that's plenty of time. 4 months turnaround? Easy. Easy for Fury, especially when he's going to Pam Ngannou, who hasn't really got a clue what he's doing in there. Is it even going to be in a ring? Is it going to be just normal boxing rules?
Yeah.
Remember when they were talking about some hybrid BS? Blood, look, he's going to bat Ngannou. Let's be real. Then Usyk, Fury. Basically, Fury's going to not have a break, innit? He'll take a little week, 2-3 weeks off, and then get back into it. Because he ain't got a choice. This is what we have to see. This is what we demand to see. So if they try and make another fight, there will be no interest. There will be no interest. No, what's the word? Consolation prize. I don't want to see Dubois again right now. Do that after the Fury fight. But let's watch the Fury fight. And actually, if you want to see the rematch, we'll see it when the belts aren't up for grabs, when potentially Tyson takes them off Usyk. Then give Dubois a rematch. Then give, if he gets through him, then boom, unification, Queensbury with Queensbury, Fury versus Dubois for a fat paycheck for both of them. The belts all stay in Queensbury again. You get me? Potentially. But that's not going to happen, because if Tyson Fury wins, we're going to have to see him versus AJ first.
Yeah. It's mad. The heavyweight division's definitely heating up.
It's the only division that's interesting right now.
I don't know, actually. I mean, things are definitely heating up in the heavyweight division as we get closer to the end of the year. Fury and Ngannou. Just a quick shout out to a special fighter on the undercard who made his professional debut, Prince Adam Hamed. Wow, man, showman, just like his father. Yeah. It's crazy to know, yeah. No amateur background, no amateur experience, not one single amateur fight.
Serious, straight in there
from the gym. Into a professional fight. Amazing.
That's crazy though. I mean,
it's not unheard of. Yeah, people have done it. You know, people change sports.
He's allowed that because of who his dad is. Mm. And if he's anything like that, which he's kind of showing that he is, then I get it. Talent is undeniable.
Yeah.
But he better get some fights under his belt before he tries to step up in level.
I feel they're going to be very smart with him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got the whole package, the charisma, he's got the look, the way he moves.
Yeah.
Everything is similar. Yeah. And, you know, when you got the most entertaining, the best British fighter I've seen, ever, just everything behind you.
Yeah.
You know, the fans are going to love him, and he's humble, he's a good guy.
He is a good youth, man.
But yeah, Adam Hamed made his professional debut on the undercard. He was actually the co-main event.
That's crazy.
Co-main event of Usyk Dubois. It was a four-rounder, didn't need it. Mm-hmm. Went in there with Wojtek Herdy, kind of unheard of. And yeah, it was just, you know, it was something for him to showcase his hand speed and ability, and Hamed went out there. As the prince does, and it was a mismatch. Obviously, went in there, bullied him, got him into the corner, threw shots. They were all being blocked, but the towel came in straight away. It was just, you know, he was gonna get, if something landed clean, he was gonna get absolutely slept. So it was just a nice way for Hamed to get out on a big card. Didn't look nervous at all. Smiling on his way in. I was really hoping he was going to jump over the ropes. Didn't do it. But you know, he's doing his own thing now. You know, the comparisons will obviously be there. But again, congratulations, Adam. Can't wait to see you back out there again. and hopefully dominating the British scene down the future, just like your pops.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's change scenes. Let's go over the Atlantic. Actually, no, not the Atlantic.
No.
We were actually in the Far East. Let's go over to Singapore, where UFC took the reign, and we had the return of Max Blessed Holloway against the Korean Zombie. And what a fight.
What a fight, for real.
For UK fans, a lot of people missed it because it was during the afternoon.
Yeah.
So a lot of people didn't realise it. And, you know, I had Bear Man messaging me saying, what time's the fight tonight? What time's the fight?
You know what it is? I didn't even say what time's the fight
tonight.
You missed it.
You were fuming.
I was raging. I knew it was in Singapore. I didn't think, oh, let me check the time difference. I knew just recently the fight in Japan was in the afternoon. I should have put two and two together. I wasn't really... I've been preoccupied, innit? Preoccupied. I was preoccupied. So when I just looked at my phone, I looked on Instagram and I saw the Korean Zombie has officially retired. I was like, what? What's going on? I thought he retired before the fight. And then I went on, obviously not... I was raging. I was like, blood, I missed the whole event. The first thing I saw was the post-fight conference. That's the first thing I watched. And then after that, I started watching the fights.
Going in reverse.
Yeah, it was in reverse. It was Memento. But what a fight.
Yeah.
What a fight. What a way to go out, man.
You said he retired. He went out on his shield.
Yeah.
Some people need to learn how to do that.
100%.
Max Holloway went in there. Obviously, he was the favorite.
Yeah.
You know, Korean Zombies that we knew is towards the end of his career anyway.
Yeah.
And this was kind of his last hurrah, if you say, you know,
yeah.
In front of what's packed a pro Korean Zombie crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the whole of East Asia basically there for you. Everybody loves Max Holloway as well, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
So it's two fan favorites going at it.
Literally.
Two amazing, it's a stylistic dream. You know, you're just going to get two guys going out hell for leather. And that's exactly what they did from round one.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, though, because there was at one point, was it round one or round two, when Holloway dropped him and didn't follow up because he thought it was going to be done. Yeah. And then the heart of a zombie.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have a heart, but the heart of a lion. But he grabbed onto Holloway's legs. I'm not going nowhere yet.
Yeah.
Holloway caught him clean and then he stood there. There's a picture of him like that. We'll put it up.
Standing over
and he didn't do it. Out of respect. And then Holloway went for a dast choke.
That's crazy.
When have you ever seen Holloway in a choke in the past 5 years? I can't remember the last time I've even seen him.
He's the best boxer.
Yep. I'm the best boxer in UFC, baby. Mm. And he was in there for quite a bit. But the round ended. And Korean Zombie just said, you know what? I'm just going all out.
Down,
and they just carried on scrapping, scrapping.
Yeah.
But the knockout, absolutely vicious. Not absolutely,
absolutely.
It was disgusting. Mm-hmm. He walked into that right hand, fell flat on his face, and that was all she wrote, baby.
Yeah.
I'm the best boxer in UFC, baby. It was, you know, it was sad to see Korean Zombie go out like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it was nice though. It was a nice way, because I think it makes sense.
It definitely,
you know,
makes
if you're
sense.
You're gonna go out,
you're
going out as a warrior. You're going out on your shield in front of a pro contingent, a pro Korean Zombie fan base, you know.
Yeah.
The contingent's all really there for you.
100%. 100%.
And who better to fight? You know, one of the most
there
humble.
Was no heel in that fight.
Yeah.
Just two faces. Two-faced. Toothpaste. Do you get me?
But yeah, congratulations to Korean Zombie on a fantastic career. Hall of Fame career. You know, he's been in there with everybody, fought everybody. Won or lost, didn't matter.
How do you say thank you in Korean? I know you know it. You watch Bear TV. Bear Korean soaps. Come
listen,
on, man.
Forget all of it right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
And also, congrats Max Holloway, you know. It was just it was a fun fight, and it's good to get them sometimes, you know. Now and again, you need one of them barn burners, and just
100%.
I feel like Max was upset that he did that.
I don't think the word is upset. I think he I think he liked what he did, to be honest. I think he liked what he did. I think he wanted, look, he wanted, he got the bonus again in Singapore, which he's saying he wanted. He got that. He did very well. I think it's it reminded him what he's about and what he's like. Do you understand? Yeah. Like I said, he's still young. He's 32. He's still got a good few years in him.
He's been there.
He has been there from... he was born in an octagon. Do you get me?
Yeah.
But yeah, he did well, man. He's back. He says there's no doubt. Look, you cannot deny me another Volk fight. I don't think next. I think he needs something else. But who is there? I don't think there is anyone. You just have to wait for Volk to fight either Topuria or...
Holloway Topuria?
Wow. That's a good fight. That's a good fight.
Listen, I'm all for Holloway fighting Volk.
Volk again, yeah.
But I kind of just don't really want
to
see it.
No, I want to see it, but we need to be reminded why we want to see it. So
I kind of want to see Volk just at 155 now. If you can do that to Makhachev... I wonder what else you could do in that division, bro.
Mm.
You've done everything you needed to do at 145. You've beaten everybody.
It's true, but he...
and you're dominant. I know it's his natural... Like, it's a good weight for him, and it's difficult. Because 155, you know... But again, you're a thick dude. And it just... It makes me think, you know, you had that much success against arguably the pound-for-pound best in the world. Yeah. Imagine what you could do to some of these other guys who aren't near his level.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Volk and Charles Oliveira.
Don't be mad.
I'd love to see Volk and Gaethje.
That would be mad.
I'd love to see Volk and Poirier. I'd love to see Volk and McGregor.
That would be mad.
I'd like to see that.
I'd like to see it, but
I'd like to see Volk and Chandler.
Yes.
Give me Volk and Dariush. Yes. I'd even say that. Give me Volk and Sarukian.
Anybody in the top 10.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just, you know, there's loads of good fights out there for him. And, you know, you're at that point, man. You cemented yourself as one of the GOATs.
You've done everything. Actually, that's a good point. Because I don't think I've considered him just staying up at 155.
Just stay there and fight everybody.
Stay there and just, yeah. You know what? That's
really
mad.
And truly.
Give the title fight to
listen,
to
you
Max.
Do Holloway.
No, but that's not nice. That's not enough redemption for Holloway, bro. Do you get
of
me?
Course it's not. But then Holloway works his way up to 155 again.
He said that as well. I think he said he'd do that.
You know, like, I mean, how many more times can you do Volk and Holloway? Another 14 times?
No, but like, it's hard, isn't it?
It gets difficult
even if
after
you get,
a certain
if
while
to
even
win.
Sell it. Because even now, even though Holloway's knocked him out, knocked that Korean zombie, and even though he's looking red hot and he's on form, it's still not enough for me to say, you know.
Yeah,
what?
That's why him versus Topuria would be like, yo.
But then it's then,
if he
but then that's
Topuria,
the thing, like,
then
it's
we're
like
yes.
So this is the thing. This is what the catch 22 is. What you say, yeah, is I feel like Volk's next challenge has to be Topuria. There's no one really else for him to fight. But then Holloway's next fight should be Topuria as well, because there's no one else for him to really
fight. Then feed Topuria to Volk. Let's see what happens there. Let's assume Volk batters him. Let's feed him now to Holloway. See how they fit. Styles make fights, and I'm aware of that. But let's see how each fared against the same opponent, and then boom. What?
Throw a spanner in the works.
What's that?
Triple threat. Three man in the cage, first time in history.
And you stop the fight with a chicken. Have you seen that? You stop the fight by throwing in the chicken. It's the maddest thing. I don't know what circuit that is, yeah, but it was a woman. She was probably a fighter. But this is some 45, 50-year-old man, yeah? And he turned his back and
she was tucking
the cage
him
and
in.
He was getting weighed in.
Yeah,
and
I've seen this. Yeah.
He's in
a
towel and he threw in the chicken.
Yeah, I've seen this. She was battering him.
Yeah.
Against the cage.
Blood, I don't know what that, and the whole
the
thing was
came
like
in.
It's like a dream. It's like
it's a dream scenario.
It was mad, blood.
Thank y'all.
Tucking you in. And your
brethren's
stopping it by throwing in a chicken, a live chicken.
You just get
in the cage.
Protein.
Get your protein.
Live protein. Yeah, it was flapping around, wasn't it? That's mad.
Insane.
What a way to end the fight.
What a way to end the pod.
Throw in the chicken.
And on that note, guys, this has been episode 67. I've been your boy Fat Mouse. Next week, I may or may not have these glasses on. It's for you lot to decide. With or without Clark Kent or Superman. You get me? Let me know. Who else have we had in here?
I'm Cash with a K, not a C. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and share the pod around the whole world.
Everywhere. Just send it. Just click on the share thing, send it, watch this all the way through. You're appreciated. You are appreciated. Thank you very much indeed. We will see you lot very, very soon. Inshallah.
Come tell me that. Hi guys, it's Cash with a K, not C, from the Sweet Science Podcast. I'm moving around on the chair. I just wanted to say thank you for watching the video. If you liked, make sure to comment, like, subscribe. This is the channel. He's the man. We've been the Sweet Science Podcast. Ha ha ha!